Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Good morning, everybody. How are you today? Man, it's already been just a great service, don't you think? God's doing something. He's working. Are you ready to grow in the Bible now? Yeah? You have your notebooks with you? You ready to take some notes? You have your Bibles with you? Yeah? Okay. Welcome, everybody on the internet. Good morning. If you're watching on the internet, we want to include you. God bless you. Let's grab our Bibles, hold those up in the air, repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Sometime I hope that you slow down and you listen to what you're exactly saying there, because it's really powerful what we're saying there every week, okay? Also, just to reaffirm, that Holy Spirit conference is coming. Man, there's an enthusiasm in my spirit about it, this anticipation that it is going to be absolutely life-changing for everyone. I can't wait to get there. Like, I cannot wait to be right there and just to, like, drink it all in, you know what I mean? I've got pastors coming from all over the state, and they're setting, like, bringing people with them, and this place is going to be packed. So I'm saying this right now. You want to get here early, amen? Get here early, come to as much of it as you can. It is going to be so worth it. It's an awesome, awesome event. All right, we are in a series entitled The Spiritual Man, and so today I want to continue to teach you about developing, maturing that spiritual person on the inside. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. We live in a body. Make sure you're writing these things down. I'm just going to talk, and if there's anything that sticks out, write it down. It'll help you make sense later. I'm going to preach to you a message that has about three little messages on the inside of it, and I'm doing that on purpose, because today is about giving you an understanding or broadening your vision of potential for what you're capable of doing, where you can grow into now that you've given your heart to Jesus. And so I'm intentionally kind of giving you more than probably I should. On a weekend, I'm giving you like a Thanksgiving meal when you're like ready for just a quick breakfast. But I feel as if this is God's will. So can you keep up with me and write real quick and stick with me? Is that all right? All right, we're going to give you lots of Bible. We're going to expand your thinking. We're going to talk about being a disciplined person, being a spiritually mature person today. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. In talking about spiritual growth and development. I'm so excited for who you're becoming, and I want to help you get excited about that as well. It's important that you have a vision for your life and for the direction of your life. If you don't have that, I hope today to inspire you. A lot of times people have a vision for how much money they want to make, or they have goals about places they want to go. I hope today I help you set a goal or a vision about who you want to be and what you want to grow into spiritually. Okay, that's very important. Without a vision, we perish, the Bible says. So I'm giving you a vision today about who you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. So all of us who have had that veil removed. Now let me pause to explain the idea of a veil being removed. Paul was talking here to the church of Corinth about the Jewish nation, and when they were given the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus, to be forgiven by grace, to be made sons and daughters of God, through the grace of God, through the sacrifice of Jesus, instead of through laws and ordinances and obedience to those laws. They couldn't see it because they were stuck on the laws. They were stuck. Their vision was clouded. Paul calls it a veil. There was a veil that came over their eyes. So they couldn't see what was right in front of them, the good things that God was offering, this great, big, awesome life full of God himself, not based on your works, not based on the law, but based that God paid for it and is giving it to you free and clear. And they just couldn't see it, and they missed it. So then he contrasts us as believers, because we don't have that veil. When that opportunity was given to us, we said yes. How many of you said yes to the good news of Jesus? You said yes to all the promises of God, to all that Jesus came to do in your lives. That's what Paul's talking about. The veil was removed. You were able to see it. So all of us who have had that veil removed, we can see and then reflect the glory of the Lord. How many of you want your life to reflect the glory of the Lord? Anybody? That's where we're going today. This is spiritual growth. This is spiritual maturity. And the more you grow, the more that mirror of your life, the more you reflect who Jesus is, so the world can see him. Reflect the glory of the Lord. who is the Spirit. That's capital S, the Holy Spirit. Who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So there's this growing into the image of Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is helping us grow into and live more out of the good things that God has for us. What I want you to see here is the Holy Spirit's your helper. The Holy Spirit, write this down, has come to help you do and be everything Jesus paid for you to do and be. Sometimes we limit the Holy Spirit to he helps me speak in a new language, or he helps me heal the sick, or he helps me cast out devils. The Holy Spirit is your helper, and he is helping you reflect more of the glory of the Lord on a daily basis. He is helping you grow into the image of who you've been turned into, of the body that you've been placed into, of the new version of you. He's the helper. He is teaching you and training you to grow into more and more of the likeness of what's been given to you already, of who you are. Today, I want to introduce you to you from a new perspective, okay? I want you to see the bigness of who you are. See, you have a new identity because of Jesus. Your new identity is now you possess the image of Christ. That is who you are. Now, you look at yourself in the natural, you see yourself in the mirror, and you look and you feel like you're the same person. When you gave yourself to Jesus, you are no longer the same person, okay? Actually, here's a verse to put down. I didn't have it on the screen because it just came to me during service. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. The Bible talks about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the new you. This is the likeness you're growing up into. You look like Jesus. You have his potential, his ability, everything that he has, he's given to you, okay? He's paid for it and he's given it to you. Okay, so you have the image of Christ. That's who you are. Matter of fact, when the devil looks at you, he doesn't see you, he sees Jesus. It's why you can't look at yourself and you look at yourself and say, man, who am I to stand against the devil? It's not you anymore. You've been baptized into Christ. See, I love that picture of baptism because it's the image of you've been immersed inside into Jesus Christ. You are in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. See, unfortunately, the symbol's a little dated or it doesn't work totally well because we get up out of the water, okay? It's wrong for us to keep you under the water too long, okay? Although that's the real image. See, the real image isn't that I was baptized, I was immersed, and then I came out and went on with my life. The real image is the Holy Spirit took you and placed you into Christ. He immersed you into Jesus, so all that you are around you and all your capacity, all your authority is Jesus now. Is this making sense? And you don't ever come out. Come on now. You've been washed in the blood. We used to call it that. You've been washed in the blood. You've been immersed into Jesus. You've been baptized into Jesus. Your new image, your new identity is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Somebody say amen. So when the devil comes against you and you say stop, he sees Jesus' hand on your hand saying stop. If they were to take your blood type, it would be Jesus' blood type. I'm trying to help you see you've been placed into Jesus. That's the new spiritual you. And it's a gift of grace. He did it. So when you pray for the sick, it's not, I wonder if it's going to work. It's Jesus' hand praying for the sick. When you're trying to help somebody, it's not, well, I'm so limited. I'm so frail. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm this, I'm that. It's Jesus on your life. That is your new name. That is your new identity. You've been placed into Christ. Don't walk out of him. Come on now. And that's what today is about, growing up into that identity. Put on that Lord Jesus Christ. You have a right to it. He purchased for you that. Does that make sense? He gave them the right to become children of God, the Bible says in John chapter 1. And so this is what I'm trying to help you grow into. So our identity is the image of Christ, and our pursuit now is to grow into that identity, to grow into who you already are. So today I want to introduce you to you. By the grace of God. So I have this coat and I put it on because it's just trying to use it as an image of kind of our lives. Now, you can see this coat is too big for me. I look like a little kid in his daddy's coat. Hey, Dad, how you doing? You know, you're too big. And that's a good thing. But you see, that's what's been put on you. And this is spiritual development. This is spiritual growth. In Jesus, you've been placed into all that Jesus is, with all of his authority, all of his potential, all of his ability, okay? And yes, you're birthed into it like a little kid, like a little baby. And so this is your robe of righteousness. This is your new identity in Christ Jesus. This is you. And you're just like a little kid. And sometimes as a little kid, we make mistakes. We stumble and fall. We don't say the right things. We don't do the right things. But the whole time, I want you to see that you are still in Jesus, and this is still your capacity. And so now it's not a matter of you earning more of Jesus or earning more potential or more power or more authority. It's just learning how to grow up into who you already are. That's what today's about. See, because there's only one size of robes of righteousness. There's no such thing as small, medium, or large. There's just one size, and it's size C. It's size Christ. Full grown, fully mature, fully powerful. Come on now. Christ. That is what's been placed upon you. That is who you've been immersed into. Are you understanding that? Today, I'm hoping to break the mindset that someday if you behave good enough, you'll earn the anointing, or you'll earn the promises, or you'll earn the authority, or you'll earn some place in God. You've been placed into the highest place in God because you're in Jesus and Jesus is in you. You've been already seated with him in heavenly places. You are now the body of Christ, the Bible says. He's the head of that body, and you're his body expressed in the earth. And so today, though you may still have areas you need discipleship in, though you still may have areas that you're stumbling over in immaturity, what I'm trying to help you see is that you're still in Christ. And because you're in Christ, you have the power to overcome any bondage. You have the power to overcome any sin or any addiction. It's not that you have to become more of something. It's just waking up to the potential and the power that you already have upon you that you've been placed into. You don't need more of Jesus on your life to defeat the sin in your life. You already have enough of Jesus to defeat any sin or bondage upon your life. It's just waking up and maturing and accessing what's already on you. Are you understanding this? I feel like I'm going a little fast for you, but I've preached this twice now. I'm ready to fly. You see, here's the deal. If it wasn't the case, if we think we've got to somehow grow up and then we earn more, then we're putting it on us. We're putting it on our shoulders. But this is that good news. This is that message that was too good to be true news, that this insignificant, unworthy sinner was somehow taken from that potential and taken from that failure and taken from that mess and bondage and addictions. And I was, by the grace of God, placed, immersed into Jesus. And so now all that Jesus is what I have access to. All that Jesus is in nearness to God and in righteousness and in goodness and the capacity to do good and the capacity to be good and the capacity to grow up and mature and to be significant in the world. You've been placed into Jesus. That's your new identity. So this is our pursuit today. Luke chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus talking. See, we're a student now and we're learning maturity. We've been born into the family, and we're now learning to grow up into our robes. A student is not above his teacher. See, Jesus is saying this. But everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. So Jesus's plan for our lives is that we continue to grow up more and more, to become more and more, to operate more and more on those levels of him. On those levels of Jesus. This is spiritual growth. This is spiritual maturity. Jesus is saying that when a student is fully trained, now training means it's going to take practice. You see, spiritual maturity and growing into your new robes, it's going to take practice. There's going to be tests, things that test your spiritual maturity, things that test you to go back into old ways. But it doesn't mean you're not able. You are more than able to overcome and to be victorious over any test. And as you go through those tests, you're just growing more and more and more into your spiritual maturity. Isn't that awesome? You see, the teacher is Jesus. He wants you to be fully trained, which means we have permission to grow up into his whole image. See, we think he's trying to turn us into Christians. He's trying to reproduce his image. Come on, did you see that? I didn't even say that in the last two. That was awesome. I just blessed myself with that one. He's not trying to turn you into a Christian. He's trying to grow you up in his image. Come on now. Because, you know, he sees the robes. He sees what he paid for to put on you. And right now, we may be like little kids like this. He's still proud of us. We still stumble a little bit. We still make a mess. But we're growing up. And every test we passed teaches us we have the capacity to be a little bit more like Jesus. It's not that we're earning more of Jesus. We're not buying more of Jesus. We're just growing up into who we already are. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? All right, four of us think it's awesome. A student is not above his teacher. Jesus is the top. We'll never pass him. But his will is for us to become as much like him as possible. In function and practice, write that down. We are that in identity, but in function and practice to become more like him. You're not going to become more righteous than you already are because you've been given his righteousness. You're not going to become closer to God than you already are. See, this is what I'm trying to help you see. You're already close to God. So you start, once you see it, you start talking to God like you're close to God. You say, but I don't qualify. I messed up. Isn't grace awesome? See, you're close to God because you look like Jesus. And you're qualified because of Jesus. And so you start by faith saying, I am close to God. Even in my mistake, even in me acting like an immature baby, I'm still close to God and I can talk to God and ask him for his help. In relationship with God, rather than trying to get in relationship with God, I am in relationship with God. Even when I made mistakes, even when I fail, and being in relationship with God, I am now more than a conqueror. You don't become a conqueror so you can get into a relationship with God. You are a conqueror because it's been placed upon you. It is your DNA, and you're learning how to act out what you already are. Is this too confusing for you? Good, because this is my introduction. I'm so passionate about this, right? I'm so passionate about you seeing who you are and being inspired about your potential of growth. Moving beyond just trying to stay saved every day and moving to a place of saying, I'm growing into the image of Christ. I'm going to live and act like Jesus on a daily basis. Amen? Because we've got our identity sorted out. The devil is an identity thief. He's always trying to steal your identity and make you think you're not who you already are. Trying to get you to pay a price to become something Jesus paid the price for you to already be. Okay? Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, talking about this whole concept of the coat and the robe and already being something and that you have everything you need. It's already in the robe. It's already in the image of Christ that's been placed upon you. Verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. By his divine power, this is God now. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Please write this in your notes. I am lacking nothing to succeed in this life. I am lacking nothing. God doesn't have to give me one more thing. Why? Because he's already emptied out heaven into our lives by putting you into Jesus. Come on now. What more does he need to give you? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. This is awesome. That's the same spirit that took on hell and won. And by the way, that's the same Holy Spirit that made the universe. What else do you need, man? Or you're like, well, I could also, what? His divine power has already given you everything you need. Everything you need. This was God who's already given it to you. It's all in your new identity. It's all in your new righteousness. It's all in the promises that he made because of Jesus. We have received all this by coming to know him. We've already received it because we came to know Jesus. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that will enable you to share in the divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of this, in response to all this that you've now been given, In view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. That's kind of where we are now. I've tried to set you up and help you to see that God has given you all of himself. He's given you his image. He's given you his name. He's given you his great and precious promises. He's given you his spirit. He's given you everything you need for life and godliness. Because of all of this, how will you now respond to all that you've been given? That's the question. The Bible tells us here to supplement your faith with generous provisions of moral excellence. So now there's this spiritual growth track. This is what he's saying. So you've been given all this and you have faith in Jesus. So now he says supplement or add to or increase in addition to your faith, you know, like a supplement, add to it, your faith. You have this faith in Jesus, a generous provision of moral excellence. So now you see a person who doesn't just have faith in Jesus, but they begin to mature in moral excellence. You'll see here, this is a person growing in their spiritual maturity. It's not just, I have a faith, but now because of the faith that I have, I'm choosing to now perfect other areas in my life and not let them be immature and not let them be broken because I know I've been given everything. So why leave something deficient in my life when I've been a partaker of all sufficiency? Can you see this? And so you see them adding and adding and adding to their faith, moral excellence, and adding for moral excellence, you add knowledge. Verse 6, with knowledge, now you begin adding self-control, and with self-control, you begin to add patient endurance. Then with patient endurance, you begin to add more godliness. So with godliness, you add brotherly affection. With brotherly affection, you add love for everyone. And the more you grow like this, you see there's a growth track. This is spiritual maturity. This is what I'm trying to inspire you to see, that you can start with just faith in Jesus and you have access to all this potential, but now you begin, Peter's telling these new believers, now begin to grow up in your potential. Begin to add moral character. You can do it. Don't believe a lie of the world that says you can't have moral character and integrity or ethics or morality, that that's not culturally anymore. Who cares what culture is? I have access to God's ability. I can increase in my moral excellence. Isn't that awesome? You know, sometimes when it comes to this world anymore, we talk down to people as if they don't have the capacity to behave themselves anymore. You know, you look at people even in our school systems with our teenagers, and they just give them contraceptives and saying, well, they're just teenagers. They're just gonna do that. We are not animals. And we just have lowered our standard of what human beings are capable of. But you are not mere human beings anymore. Hey, a teenager in Christ has access to his moral excellence. And they can live a life of godliness in a world that's fallen apart. And they need to, so that people can see there's hope to rise above what this world's turning into. But we're not asking them just to control themselves, where the spirit in them will help them live a life of moral excellence, give them both the will and to do his good pleasure, the Bible says. Yeah. So we introduce our teenagers to who they are in Jesus. Man, that's powerful stuff. And so you add and you add, and the Bible says the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be. Well, of course you will be, because you're acting more like Jesus. Of course you're going to produce more fruit. Because in trial and tribulation and persecution and stuff going on, you're mature in all these areas and you're producing what Jesus would have done in that situation. And so, man, that's a powerful thought, Lord. That's good. So before, where you would see a trial or a battle as trying to take something away from you, you see it and you produce something of Christ in it. And now that thing is an opportunity for you to produce fruit in it. Does that make sense? See, before you were growing in these areas, those things would be things that you think, oh, it's going to steal my blessing. It's going to steal my joy. It's going to steal something. But you have grown now into the place where you know how to produce something powerful in those things as they come against you. Man. Okay, I'm going to move on there. But those who fail to develop in this way, you see, because here's the deal. There's a lot of people in this world that don't care about growing up spiritually. They just want to say yes to Jesus so they can go to heaven and not be crispy critters for the rest of eternity. See, they have the gospel. They started in the faith. But those who fail to develop, continually adding and perfecting those areas of their life, continuing to access more and more of the character and the godliness and the knowledge and the love that you have on you, it's available. Don't say you don't have the capacity to love people. It's on you in Jesus. It's we haven't trained ourselves in our capacity to love somebody. Amen. But those who fail to develop in this way, they are short-sighted and blind. See, they don't have a vision for what they could be. They're short-sighted. They just see themselves and just their own little life, and God's trying to turn them into his image so the world can be saved through their lives. Okay? But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed of their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. I look at it this way. If you're so excited and passionate about growing up in who you are in Jesus and you're pursuing God, you'll never get distracted to walk away. You're so excited and motivated and growing up into that image and you're becoming more and more of who Jesus made you to be, nothing could distract you or tempt your heart away because you're so focused on pursuing the Lord. You're enjoying the journey. But when you get stale and stagnant and you stop having vision for your personal growth, or you believe a lie that you've grown and all there is, you've got it all, you've seen it all, Christianity is boring, what's happened is you've stopped having vision because Jesus is infinitely amazing and you can continue to grow as long as you want to grow. But if you stop growing, what happens is you start getting your eyes in the wrong place, not of what you can become, and you begin to believe lies to go back to an old lifestyle. If you have time to listen to go back to an old lifestyle, then you're not occupying yourself wholeheartedly to the journey and the beautiful life that you can have ahead of you, okay? That's all that I'm trying to say there. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's talk a little bit about Jesus, as he's our picture, he's our teacher, he's who we want to grow into. I want to talk to you not just about Jesus. Obviously, he's got power and anointing. He has the message that was so powerful in his life. But we're turning into that image. We're growing into that image. We have been given that image. That is our identity. We've put on the Lord Jesus. We're in him. But let's talk about who he is practically. Not just authority and power and casting out demons and healing people. But, you know, there's a lot of things that we can grow up mature in and spiritually. And like one of the things I love about Jesus that I believe is not just because of a personal nature of his, but it's because of the fruit of the Spirit in his life, is that Jesus was consistently himself, adding value all the time. I love that about Jesus. It's like, I want you to see Jesus right now, not just from his power and casting out demons stuff or just his message, but who he was. He didn't live his life on an emotional roller coaster, did he? He was always the same. He was ready to help in time of need. You know what? You can say, well, Jesus didn't have any problems in his life. Have you read the Bible? The devil came against him. His family came against him. His spiritual leaders, people he respected even when he was a kid growing up, came against him. Come on now. People just wanted stuff from him, and they would betray him on the other side. You know, the Bible says Jesus was tempted in every way like us, but yet he still performed consistently. Isn't this awesome? I want us to get a vision for that. Jesus even went through storms. And in Jesus' situation, when he went through storms, he didn't fall apart like a lot of us charismatic Christians do, myself included sometimes. See, because we love the power, we love the cast out demons, we love the speaking in new languages, but we're, in a lot of ways, sometimes we find ourselves when trouble comes or trial comes, we're still the first one to be like, God, why do you hate me? Come on now. Jesus went through the same storms and he was able to put his head and sleep on a pillow and say, well, that was just because Jesus was naturally a calm person. I believe it was because he accessed the fruit of the Spirit when he needed to. See, this is spiritual maturity. You can't sit there and say, well, I don't have the capacity to be calm in a storm because I'm Italian. See, because my capacity now is Christ. See, now I may not get it perfect, but every time I pass one of those tests, I'm growing a little more into that image and a little more into that, reflecting more of that glory. And all of a sudden I've realized I can be at peace through a storm. Not in my strength, but in his strength. When the devil comes against me, I can speak the truth of the word. I can stand on the promise of God and not fall apart like I used to. I can do all things through Christ. Because he's through Christ, not through Kevin, but through Christ who gives me the strength. It's not that he gives it to me like he's pouring it out of heaven in a future tense. He gives it to me by giving me himself. Does that make sense? It's not like he's sending it UPS and it'll get here like prime delivery 2 days from now. Maybe. Is this making sense? He's giving me wisdom, but it's not that he's giving it to me like shipping it to me. He's giving it to me because he's right here with me, on me. He's giving me peace. I can access the peace he's giving me, peace that passes understanding in my trouble. And I can learn to be a spiritually disciplined, mature person that through temptation, through trial, through storm, through opposition and persecution, I can be consistently like Jesus. And my kids can see it and be inspired. And my neighbors can see it and realize they could do it too. And this world could see there is hope in this fallen world because you're the salt and you're the light. And they're seeing your light reflect from the light of Jesus through your life. But when we're like this and we're like, follow us as we follow Christ, you know, people are like, "Wee, oh, follow me as I follow Christ." It's a scary ride, but hang on. Are you getting anything? But that's one thing is when we say we become like our teacher, I want us to have a vision for our lives to not just become like our teacher as in, yep, I'm going to cast out a demon. Yep, I'm going to heal the sick. I also want to become more like Jesus and be able to handle life and be spiritually mature, be spiritually consistent. That's the word I wanted to say. Spiritually consistent, showing up every day the way I need to show up because Jesus did it. I'm growing up into his image, so I know. I may not be there yet, okay? We may be like every other Tuesday I'm showing up right now, okay? But like, we're going to get there, right? We're going to get there. You're going to get there. We're going to get there in Jesus' name. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Just talking about potential, talking about what you can do. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. The Bible says, you were not given a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and some Bibles say sound mind, but the translation today that we'll use says self-discipline. I have not been given a spirit of fear. I have been given a spirit of power, love, and of self-discipline, which means I can tell myself we're growing. Not even wait to feel like growing. See, that's that Peter book. It said, add to your faith moral excellence. It didn't say wait till you feel like it. It said do it. And brotherly love and affection and do it and do it and do it and do it. I have self-control. You have self-control because you have Jesus on you. You can't say this, oh, I couldn't say no to that sin. That's a lie. You're believing a lie. The Bible says sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Consider yourself dead to sin and sin dead to you. You're giving permission to things in your life that you don't have to give permission. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm trying to inspire you that you already have everything you need for life and godliness. There is no addiction. There is no sin. There is no pattern or behavior that is greater than the Christ inside of you, upon you, that you are inside of. All those symbols are trying to help you see you're not alone. Man, this is rich today, isn't it? This gets richer every time we preach this thing. Hebrews chapter 5, go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Hebrews 5, verse 11. There is much we would like to say to you about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull. You don't seem to listen. I love it. You have been believers so long, now you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat food. See, this is what I'm trying to challenge us right now. This group of individuals made a decision to stay babies, though they had all the potential and capacity in the world to become spiritually mature. Spiritual maturity, growing into the image of Christ, is not set aside for God's favorites. You're all God's favorites. Say amen to that. Right? It's really a matter of decision. this group of people decided to stay babies. Paul was like, you're dull. You've closed your ears. You've stopped at one level. You've become satisfied. You should be. You have so much in you. You should be teaching the world. But because you chose to remain small, because you chose to not have a vision for your personal growth, it's not that you lack anything because you've been given everything for life and godliness. You just chose to suck your thumb and remain drinking milk. You thought milk was tasty. That's all you needed. But I'm here to challenge you right now that if you'll let God start thickening that milk, you can let God start putting some cereal in there. Come on. There's steak coming. Got to start somewhere, but there's steak coming. Hallelujah. Amen. You're like, I'm a vegetarian. I'm sorry. There's a tofu patty coming. And it's delicious. For someone who lives on milk, is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training. See, it goes back to training. Yes, it takes training. But in training, first of all, you have to understand if your coach is going to train you in something, your coach believes you have the power to do it. Your coach isn't training you to do something he knows you're not physically capable of doing. Jesus is the coach. Come on now, the helper, the Holy Ghost is the coach. He's challenging you to live bigger because he knows you have the power to do it. He knows what's on you. He knows your gifts. He knows how far to stretch you in each season. He knows this is not going to break you. Whatever you're going through, this is going to break you. This is going to make you somebody. Come on now. He's going to show you how to win in that, to dig down deep and to say whatever comes against me. I'm not saying God causes those difficult challenges, but he knows you have what you need to overcome that thing, which is why God always causes you to triumph. Man. It's training. But again, your trainer isn't telling you to do something you're not capable of doing. He's telling you what you're capable of doing. You may not believe him yet. Like you may not believe him that you can say no to sin yet, but he's saying you can say no to sin. You may not believe him that you can forgive, but he knows you can forgive. You may not believe him that you can have stable emotions, but he's telling you, you can get there. You can get there. It's not you and your own. It's Christ in you. It's what you've been given in great and precious promises. He's going to help us. Now, when we fail in those areas, he's not throwing us out and saying, you're not worthy. He's saying, hey, remember the coat that's on you. Let's get up and try again. I didn't take the coat off of you. That coat is still on you, and it's going to help you mature and grow into that area. Don't quit and don't settle for being a baby. You keep trying to grow up. You'll learn how to walk, my son. You'll learn how to walk, my daughter. You'll learn how to talk. You'll learn how to live and be an overcomer. Amen. Mature through training have their skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Titus chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. Titus chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. Just another example of what we're talking about spiritual maturity. So the apostle tells Titus to stay back. He says, for this reason, I left you behind in Crete. That's a place. That you might set right what was defective and finish what was left undone. That you might appoint elders and set them over the churches and the assemblies in every city as I have directed you. So Titus's job was to appoint elders for all the churches. Now here's the qualifications of elders. You might want to write some of these down if they stand out to you. The elders should be men who are unquestionable in integrity. I love that. We can be unquestionable in our integrity. They are irreproachable. They are a husband of one wife whose children are well-trained believers, not open to accusation, being loose in morals or conduct, unruly or disorderly. See, they're a very self-controlled person. They have their lusts and their passions submitted to God. They're not being led by their emotions. For the bishop and overseer as God's steward must be blameless, not self-willed or arrogant or presumptuous. He must not be quick-tempered, given to drink, pugnacious. That's a word for you this weekend. Every time you hear the word pugnacious this weekend, I want you to go, yay. I'm sure you're going to hear it lots. Ready? Brawling, violent. He must not be grasping or greedy for filthy lucre or financial gain, but he must be hospitable. This is what he is. He's hospitable. Loving, a friend to believers, especially to strangers and to foreigners. He must be a lover of goodness, of good people and good things, sober-minded, sensible, discreet, upright, fair-minded, a devout man, religiously correct, temperate. Keeping himself in hand, see, having that self-control. He must hold fast to the sure and trustworthy word of God as he was taught, so that he may be able to both give stimulating instruction and encouragement in sound wholesome doctrine, and to refute and convict those who contradict and oppose it, showing the waywardness of their errors. So I ask this question: why did these men develop into elders? Simple comment. They chose to. I read all of that for a purpose. These individuals had nothing super special about them. But you see, like in any church, we're looking for leaders. And sometimes in churches, unfortunately, a few people rise up and choose to do the work to become self-disciplined, helpful, loving, to get themselves under control and spiritually mature. And so they tend to rise up and become like spiritual leaders. But I'm trying to help us see today, it was never the will of God that just a small group of people take it seriously and grow up into their spiritual maturity. The world needs spiritual leaders. The world needs elders and bishops of the kingdom of God. You understand what I'm saying? Unfortunately, like Hebrews was saying, too many people choose to remain babies, not because you have to. One reason might be no one inspired you that you can grow up in all of these areas. See, once you decide a thing, you can begin to say, I'm going to focus and grow in this area. If my emotions have been all over the place and squirrely, I know I have the capacity to become self-controlled, that I don't have to have those types of emotions. And you grow up there. If you don't know the word of God, see, one of the things about being an elder in the church is you're supposed to know the word of God. Well, you can correct that if you don't know the word of God. Isn't this amazing? See, the lack of spiritual leaders in the world is not a result that Jesus didn't give them everything they need for life and godliness. It's just a few people decided to take them seriously and grow up. But what if the generation changed? What if we all decided to become spiritual leaders and elders for a world that needs to see leadership? Maybe God doesn't use you as a spiritual leader here in the house, but you could be like an elder or a deacon on a board of directors in a factory or a business, or the principal of a school, but you have the lifestyle, the maturity, the growth of an elder of the kingdom of God, and you're a doctor, and you're a teacher, and you're a businessman or woman. Isn't this awesome? But you won't be that if you decide to remain infants. All of you have capacity to become elders in this world, salt and light. Amen. They chose to become elders. How awesome would it be if the churches of America, there were so many people that were qualified to be elders? That's the way the church should be, because all of them have access to be qualified. Everybody has access to be qualified. And so we can learn to develop in all of these areas and not live that roller coaster life. Put on the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to pause there. I have about 2 hours worth more of material that I'm not going to share with you. I'm exercising my self-control. Go ahead and stand on up. But I wanted to inspire you today to live bigger for the potential of what's upon your life, okay? Did you get anything out of that today? Is that all right? Some of you are still writing. You're like, ugh. You can come down here. Healing for hand cramps will be in this corner. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. Your word is so exciting. Your word is so rich. And Lord, your vision for our lives is so awesome. Help us to get that vision for our lives like you have vision for our lives. Stop believing lies about ourselves and to start receiving what Jesus has given us freely. I pray, God, today that people would desire to say, you know what? I am sick of being a spiritual baby. I am ready to grow up. I'm ready to train and to grow. Lord, I bless this house in spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. Lord, that this world would have more leaders in it, more spiritual leaders in it. I give you thanks and I give you praise for all these things in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say a big amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com. and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.